The One and the 99, How to Break Free from the Tribe by Luke Burgess, read by Shahjahan Khan and Luke Burgess.
Hi, this is Luke Burgess. Thank you for listening to my audiobook. What you're about to hear is a book with a peculiar form in that it is nonfiction, but weaves ideas with personal narrative. With that in mind, in this program, I'm going to narrate the most personal sections myself. The prologue, the threshold sections between each chapter, and the final chapter of the book. Alongside my voice, you will be hearing the earphone award-winning narrator, Shahjahan Khan. We hope you enjoy this audiobook.
Men, it has been well said, think in herds. It will be seen that they go mad in herds, while they only recover their senses slowly and one by one. Charles Mackay.
Prologue. Psychedelic Sheep. In April 2015, my parents flew from West Michigan to Dublin to meet me for a family vacation. I'd been living in Italy since 2013, and this was only my second time seeing them since the move. I missed them, and I was excited to explore a place where my dad claimed we might have some roots. I waited to pick them up from the airport in a rented Volkswagen Passat that I was still getting used to. I was sitting behind a steering wheel on the wrong side of the car, navigating the opposite side of the road. I suspected the ride to our hotel would make my dad anxious. A retired truck driver, he had spent his life behind the wheel. He was never comfortable in the passenger seat. My parents' faces lit up as they emerged from the sliding doors of the airport, and I hugged them at the curb. As we loaded their things into the trunk, my mom surveyed the luggage, then brought her palm to her forehead and closed her eyes. "Lee, did you forget to take the bag with my laptop in it off the plane?" My dad looked defeated, as if he expected to have forgotten something. "Oh, gosh, honey, I..." His voice trailed off. A security officer barked at us to keep moving. Reassuring them that everything would be okay, I parked the car in the short-term garage and went inside to see what I could do. The arrivals hall was still thinning out from their flight, and a handful of Aer Lingus crew members were making their way toward the staff exit. I had only just begun looking for the lost baggage counter when I spotted a freckle-faced attendant doubled over in laughter with a colleague. Slung over her shoulder, like a 10-pound Dell bowling ball, was what looked unmistakably like my mom's laptop bag. I approached her and said, "Hi, I think that bag might belong to my parents." "Oh yes, here you go, love," she said, handing it over without so much as checking an ID. "You look like your da." She passed the bag to me and, with a quick grin, turned back to her colleague as if nothing unusual had happened. And then we were off, on the road to the Dingle Peninsula. My dad was eerily calm as I drove down the narrow roads with a white-knuckled grip on the steering wheel, winding around tight bends with short stone walls on both sides. I clipped too close to one of the walls when the road suddenly constricted, yanking the wheel to keep us on course. My dad didn't say a word. I didn't complain, but something was different. I've learned a lot about memory and perception since that day in Ireland. One of the biggest lessons is that we fail to grasp the scale of change when we're immersed in it. As an only child, I had a close relationship with my parents. Their yearly highlight was visiting me wherever I lived: New York, Hong Kong, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Italy. I had noticed, though, that in the past couple of years, the trips had started to seem like tests of endurance for them. Changes I would not have noticed if we were together every day became more pronounced when so much time passed between visits. The gentle fading of color in my mom's cheeks, the slower rhythm of their walking, the disjointed flow of a family conversation. Still, we had a full slate of activities scheduled for this trip. The first morning, we went to see Fungi, a solitary bottlenose dolphin who had showed up in the Dingle Harbor.